Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, Richard.
And Pastor Cox, good evening.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. And, good to have you guys on tonight. I know we've got a couple callers, and I'll sure let you know when they come on.
All righty. Appreciate it, sir. And we do welcome everybody to us this Wednesday evening for Hope is Alive, the show about deliverance. And what is deliverance? Deliverance is the process at which Christians like you and me exercise our authority and do the commands of Jesus when he said, go into the world, preach the gospel, cast out demons, heal the sick, and do the wonderful works that he did. As he said in his word, you'll do greater things than these. And we do appreciate the Holy Spirit, Lord, for giving us that power and authority. And if you have any questions regarding deliverance, you can go to deliveranceusa.com. Excellent website set up. It's got teaching. It's got prayers. It's got self-deliverance. It has everything you need to learn it and perform it and help equip you. Or if you like reading a book, want to do it the old-fashioned way, Pastor Cox has written an excellent book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office, 307-742-7582. Let him know you'd like to have that book, and he will get it out to you. But Pastor, as I was reading in the book of Luke this evening, Luke chapter 8, verse 38, the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent them away, saying, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. Well, I believe that's what we do here on this show on Wednesday evenings, as people who've had demons, oppression, sicknesses, all the things that have been cast out of them, are obeying that command of Jesus as he gave to that man. That was actually the one who had legion in him, the one that was at the tombs. And he says, return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you. And that's what we're doing here, isn't it?
That's so true, Ralph. That's why we're on the show tonight telling you the good news that people can be free from all kinds of tormenting feelings that they thought were their personalities, to find out there's actually an evil spirit behind those problems, and that in Jesus' name, those problems can be cast out as an evil spirit, and the problem is gone. Is that good news?
Well, that is good news. Very good news. It's the good news of the gospel.
Yes, and in one evening with most people, if we're into our 37th year of Monday nights with trained teams ministering to about a dozen, 15 people each Monday evening here in Oklahoma City, and seeing that very thing happen, they get free of their problems, generally several dozen of them. And as we've often say too, they get a Jesus overhaul. And it's the real them that's left with these spirits gone, where they can at last now go forward in their lives unhindered with these blocking evil spirits. Great news.
That's
hallelujah.
Right. That's right. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. You know, Pastor, 37 years, if it wasn't working, I think you'd have gave up on it a long time ago.
Yeah, we'd have quit long ago if it didn't work. Well, it does work. That's what drives us on.
Yes.
Well,
another thing is, 37 years of people coming in who are probably 90% of those that come in are professing Christians. Wouldn't you say that's true? 90% of
them? Oh, absolutely.
And these are
higher than that. Monday, we just had one hand that didn't go up when I asked who all in here are born again Christians.
Yeah.
And it looked like just one hand didn't go up.
Well, but that's a good percentage of those that are professing Christians are the ones coming in that are having these problems. So
yeah.
37 years of evidence shows to you that, yes, Christians are a target. Christians are can be oppressed by the devil, oppressed by demons, and that goes right along with the word where it says in Peter 5:8, I believe is where it is, it says, your adversary, the devil's a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. It looks like it's 37 years of people who have been being devoured by the devil, devoured by Satan, devoured by his demons, but yet they were set free because we have the big guns.
Yes, just a fraction of 1%. And, of course, in my case, I've done this type of ministry for 43 years and of casting evil spirits out of Christians. So it's a little hard to talk me out of it that they don't have them.
Yes. Well, anyway, why don't you start to give the update there on Monday night?
Oh, it was a great evening. We had 14 cases, had a minister for each, even extra ministers. And I had a great case. A man wasn't scheduled with anyone. I just picked this man out. And we went through the usual processes of breaking of ungodly soul ties and the inner healing on his traumas. Spent a good hour or more of that, and then finally it was time for actual deliverance, even though a certain number of demons will leave during those steps that we do. Well, I got the head demon up, and it came right up, just right out of the chute, fear. And I never did have to use the angels on it to threaten it to tell me things. It was just spoke like I was sitting in the room with someone, just having a conversation, and just told me how it had come in to him when he was young, back when they were busing students around to different schools in the 70s, and that's when he had entry because of fear from the fights that were going on. In his case, his brother was beat up real bad, it said. And he had entry at that time, fear. and had been working on him and blocking him, even though this man was a strong Christian. I had the demon give me his gifts, and I went through three quarters of a yellow tablet, writing them all down, and then I also had to give me the lies that was telling him, the top 10 lies, and it's somewhat that he was buying into, and this is really a strong Christian. In fact, he has a ministry, and so anyway, it turned out really good, and in the end, I cast him out, and the demons that were under it. Once I made sure there were no remaining rights for the demons to be there, and sent them off to the feet of Jesus as a package. And the guy, after it was cast out, he could hear it talking through him, which is probably 90% of the people when I get the head demon up. It generally only works with me about 1 out of 3. Depends on the sensitivities of the person. But it was a great ministry, and he already had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I'm still on a high from that.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, in the book of Luke, and the reason I'm mentioning the book of Luke is that's what I've been reading the past couple nights. And chapter 4 had something that was going on very similar to what you had, was Jesus was casting out demons, and they were talking to him. It says in chapter 4, 34, "Let us alone. What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth?" And if you go on a little further, it said the demons were speaking to him and other things. They were shouting. Some were shouting. Some were speaking. And that's just a common thing a lot of times with those when it comes to casting out demons. So it's not an unbiblical thing. It's probably a little unnerving the first time you hear it, especially if you never heard it before. But we have that same power Jesus does.
Yes, and all of our ministers, I say all of them, we have a good 20 ministers that are current with Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City that have gone through our training. Not all of them come every Monday night, but most of them are doing the head demon technique. If we can't get the head demon up, then we work the problem list that the person has filled out, circled the problems that they have, which often represents the actual name of an evil spirit. And that works too. People yawn them out, cough them, burp them out, and it's by the end of the evening, they feel wonderful.
Yes, it doesn't necessarily have to have a one-on-one conversation, as Pastor said, but it does kind of speed up the process. But working lists is just as effective as the head demon technique. But Pastor, we have Scott. Scott, we sure thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, hi Scott. That's Ralph on there co-host. Yes, good. I'm so excited you called in. I know you have a terrific testimony to share, and will certainly encourage the listeners out there. So why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself, Scott, and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen, and so on.
Okay. Real quick, I was born with a lot of disabilities. I was told that I was basically stupid when I was young, ADHD, extremely hyper, dyslexia, was put in LD class in the small country school that I attended, and I never got to spend any time with my class. I was always with the learning disability kids. And just pushed through school, not believing that I had any God-given gifts. God had blessed me with the ability to buy, sell, and trade. Instantly, once I got out in the world, I realized that I was a born salesman and instantly became successful in sales. But never felt the Lord I cried out to him. I prayed to him. My wife drugged me to church. I met my bride when I was 14. She got pregnant at 15. We had a baby at 16. I was in drug rehab at 17, married and graduated high school at 18, and then boom, in the world. And always called upon the Lord. I never felt him. We tried to add the Lord to our lives. My wife would drag me to church, but with my an inability to be able to read and understand the Bible, it was really hard for me. Got mixed up with drugs and alcohol at a real young age. I thought I would die a drug addict. I thought I would die an alcoholic. Smoked cigarettes, 2 packs a day. My marriage was failing. The enemy was beating on me, telling me that there was more out there than what I was receiving. My sister had met you, had come to an encounter or a deliverance meeting, and she came back and she was excited to tell me all the great news. And I just wasn't in the place in my life that I wanted to drive to Oklahoma City to sit down and listen. And because I was, the enemy was beating on me, and he kept saying, "No, you're not going. You stay here and do your drugs and do your alcohol." And it forced, to be honest, I chased a dream of marijuana. I gave up my family. I moved to Oklahoma to out by the Grand Lake to open a dispensary and a grow. And I did that for a couple of years. I thought it was the Lord was maybe leading me, and it wasn't. It was the enemy. And I lost my entire life savings in Oklahoma due to chasing this dream. While I was there, I got mixed up with a young lady who was a Wiccan. She could cast spells on people. She could summon demons. And this was going to be my new woman. And, well, one day I was partying on the back porch with her, and the Lord spoke to me for the first time in 50 years. And he said, "It's time for you to make a choice. You can go ahead and stay with this woman, or you can come and follow me." This woman was dragging my soul directly to hell. And that day, the Lord touched me. So I got in touch with my son. He informed me that I needed to go to a encounter. It's called Encounter Ministries in Lebanon, Missouri. And I went. I went with drugs. I went with alcohol. I didn't get a lot out of the first one because I was, of course, drunk and high the entire time. But the second one, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "I need you. You are my bride. I will never forsake you." And it was kind of interesting because one of the businesses that I ran in Trenton was a pawn shop before I went to Oklahoma. And one of the local gentlemen there who had been an intravenous heroin user for years and years and years and years was there. And he prayed with me, and I felt the Holy Spirit enter me that day. And he said, the Lord spoke to me again. He said, "I need you clean as snow, white as snow, with no blemishes." Now, that was 12 weeks ago. I have not touched drugs and alcohol since then. And I believe that the Lord took 75% of that from me. Now, you know that I came to Oklahoma City with Joe, my friend Joe Garten. And we came, and that day we set at least 24 demons came out of me. And I have been clean and sober. I have had more joy than I've ever had in 50 years, these last 12 weeks. I believe that your ministry is absolutely fantastic. I look forward to coming back and bringing many people with me. I would love to learn the tools that you all use to minister to folks. I have a heart full of Jesus. I'm going this weekend back to Encounter Ministries as a server for the first time and sober for the first time. You know, of course, it's been 12 weeks, but the first time encounter with no drugs and alcohol in my suitcase. I look forward to sharing my story with approximately 1,200 men, and I'm just so grateful that Jesus is in my life.
Amen. And, that is
that's
our
a,
Jesus.
Kind of a quick overview of
Scott,
my story.
Scott, what was it like when you went through deliverance? Could you feel those spirits come out, or what was it like?
I felt like I was a one-man band between the burps and the farts and the sneezes. Yes, I a couple of dozen demons came out of me that night. It was very good. I told Joe that I didn't care to drive home when we was on our way down, and I was so fired up for Jesus, I drove from Oklahoma City to Kansas City.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, so did they cough out or burp, or how do you know they came out?
Yes, I sneezed, and I coughed, and I even farted a couple of times.
Okay. Yeah, good sign. That they came out. Well,
several yawns.
Yeah, obviously,
several yawns.
Yeah, yawned. That's real common. Well, I can certainly see you're a candidate to go through the training. Where do you live now? Are you in Tulsa?
No, I was at the Grand Lake in Grove. Now I live back with my family in North Missouri, about 100 miles northeast of Kansas City on Highway 65 in a little
right.
town called Trenton.
Yes. That's a little far to come. You know, there is a way you can learn on our website, and this is for the listeners, too. If you go to the website, www.deliveranceusa.com, and Deliverance Ministries comes up, and that's on the home page. If you'll scroll down, it'll say self-deliverance. And if you click on that, there's 4 hours of video teaching and ministry, the actual ministry steps that you had that Monday night are on there, so you can use it as a teaching tool, and even use the cursor. If you didn't quite catch something, then you can back it up and listen to it again, back it up. And so you can actually learn those steps. The whole thing is on there that you had, including receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying for your back and so on.
One thing I wanted to point out, since I went to your ministry and I realized that the dyslexia and the learning disability is a demon, and that demon came out of me, I've been able to read the Bible and understand the Bible and comprehend the Bible. I've been reading your book. Your book is fantastic. And just knowing that all that death that they poured over me as a young child and that I believed it, which I think is probably how that demon came to me, but being able to get rid of it through your ministry has allowed me to understand and read the Bible much, much better.
Praise God. Well, what they were doing, they were actually speaking curses on you, and demons are many times have entry that way. So what else were you delivered from, Scott?
Anger.
The names of the demons.
Yes, anger was one that I was a depression. I was an angry, depressed individual. Suicide in my mind was probably imminent. I just needed to figure out the right time. I was close to committing suicide once in Oklahoma, and I just heard this little voice in my head said, "Your family is going to know you as a hypocrite." You know, understand, I've owned and operated over 10 companies of my own. Retired at 45. The Lord had blessed me my entire life as a businessman, and now I'm going to be done at my own hand, and I did not want to be known as a hypocrite. And I believe that demon came out of me at your ministry. I don't have depression. I'm not an angry person anymore. I love Jesus. He's in my heart. I pray to him every day, multiple times a day. I still have to rebuke the devil. He still wants me to pick up some of that garbage that I laid on the cross. But now I have the tools to do that.
Hey, man, that's quite common, actually. You know, we're in the war zone. And that's why it's so important for each person to go through deliverance to learn how much power they have and to be on guard if anything raises its ugly head, you know, if some problem raising its head again, then rebuke it as a possible spirit. And usually two or three commands in Jesus' name commanding it to go, it will.
You know, another interesting thing, of course, I never knew about the book of Job until I started reading it, but we went to your ministry on a Monday night. On Tuesday morning, my mother had a stroke. They rushed her by life flight to Kansas City, and that same week, on Wednesday, my 50-year-old wife had a heart attack. They life flighted her to the same hospital in Kansas City, and I believe that the devil was really, really, really on me because I was a VIP. I was playing on the devil's team. And when I went to your ministry and took these evil demons out of me and it cleared my brain, almost like gave me clarity. It's like slapping the scales off my eyes. I believe that those sicknesses from my family could have been from the demons. You know, going to deliverance on Monday, having your mom have a stroke on Tuesday, and your wife having a heart attack on Wednesday. I mean, it kind of reminded me of what happened to Job.
Yeah. Well, the good news is we're on this side of Jesus at the cross. We have the power given to us from the cross to deal with these. Job didn't have it.
Sure.
So we overcome now if we'll use the power. So anything that's suspicious, it behooves all of us to be suspicious, in fact, and come against something that may be of the enemy. It's probably better to use our power more often than not.
Yes, sir. Well, I love giving the devil a black eye.
You do. Hallelujah. You know, we were born to do it. That's his commands to each of us as Christians. And when we do it, we're doing his works in his name, and there's a special high that goes with that, I find.
Yes, sir.
Well, are you going to start doing some ministry, you and Joe up there?
We would love to. I need a little bit more confidence. That's why I probably need to watch your video online. Joe picks stuff up a lot faster than I do. Joe is a mentor of mine, and I love him like a brother, and he gives me guidance daily. So, yes, I would love to do that.
That's a great relationship.
Yeah.
Nothing like having a brother in Christ like that you can grow together and just discuss things. That's the way to grow.
Yes, sir.
Well,
do
you remember any other changes that have come about that you've noticed? There's a lot of listeners out there that have those kind of problems.
My relationship with my wife is flourishing. She says, "You look the same, but you don't talk the same, you don't act the same, and you don't treat me the same." And she loves it. And so, yes, it has strengthened my relationship with my bride. And I'm... To be honest, she told me just last week that she loves me more now than she ever has in 30 years of marriage.
That's so cool.
So it's
You definitely were a candidate for deliverance, I'll have to say that. But, you know, you're just like the majority of the people that come to deliverance ministry. They have those same problems. Probably even more than a couple dozen that are cast out. I'd say our average is closer to 36 per person. And
wow.
And it's the people all around us have those same problems you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, it's great to wake up happy instead of waking up mad.
Oh,
it's great,
amen.
To go through life with joy. And I love my life now, and it's amazing how I didn't love my life before.
Yes. Well, that's what it's all about. That's what keeps us doing it, is when we get testimonies like yours, it drives us on to do another one. We had 14 cases this last Monday, and it was a great evening. We had enough ministers for everyone. It was just another one of them, and they every Monday they're different people for the most part that come, and they just come from everywhere. The need is much, it seems, but the workers are few. I frankly don't know of another ministry in the country that does it just like we do, and I never put it down on paper. I never had a business plan. It just happened. The Holy Spirit just coordinated us into the way we do it.
Yes, I look forward to coming back again. I've got two or three friends that severely need your ministry, and maybe I'll learn it myself, and we'll be able to do it here locally. But if not, we will make the trip to Oklahoma City. It's 7.5 hours one way. And then we do the ministry, and we get in the car, and we drive back 7.5 hours, and we can do that under 24-hour period.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know how you do it, frankly. It makes for a long day.
It does, but let me tell you, that joy and that spiritual high that you are speaking of is unlike any drug I've ever taken in my life, and I've taken them all. And that spiritual high is the best.
Hallelujah. And you know, when you come back, Scott, you can go up to the training room when you bring those people, and then you'll be able to get some training upstairs with the team training.
That would be fabulous.
Well,
I look forward to doing this in North Missouri.
That's an awesome testimony. What would you share yet? We have a minute and a half or so. What else would you say to the people before we wind up, Scott?
I would say that if you have depression, if you have anger, if you have a substance abuse, if anything that is not godly in your life, Deliverance Ministries can help you remove it. The number one thing that I would say is, you have to forgive everybody in your life, and you have to bless them. And if you can do that, you can be totally saved by the grace of Jesus.
Yes, that Jesus overhauled it to go forth in the world and in the ministry. Thanks, brother.
It is so
wonderful.
Thank you, Ever. Thank you for having me.
Yes, it was.
Guys, I look forward to seeing you again.
Hey, Scott. God bless.
Thank you.
Definitely sounds like you got a Jesus overhaul.
Oh, my gosh. The more you could hear it in his voice, couldn't you?
Yes. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. Yes, you could. You know, in the book of Luke, there's the parable of the man who was, where Jesus had asked Peter, one man is forgiven 50 denarii, and the other one's forgiven 500. And he says, "Who do you think was more thankful and loved more?" And he says, "The one that because I guess the one that was forgiven 500." And that's the same thing when it comes to deliverance. When you've had so much oppression in your life, the more that junk that's been cast out just makes you really appreciate just how much
has
been done for you. I mean when you've had that oppression of drugs and alcohol and addiction and other things, as Scott had talked about, it just, when you're free from it, it's just it's hard to put into words, just because it's like a new you, and
yes,
it's like a new lease on life. But Pastor, we have Joy. Thank you for calling this evening.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah, Joy.
Good to be here. Hey,
yes,
Everett.
Joy. I'm so glad. Hi.
You hear me?
So glad you called in. That's Ralph. That was just visiting with you. He's up in the Branson area, and gosh, I know you got an exciting testimony.
Well, nothing
so
like that. I don't think that was just amazing. I loved hearing that. So happy.
Oh, yeah,
is Ralph?
It.
Is that our friend's name? Ralph.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Well, so wonderful. I am so happy for him. And it's just amazing the power. I've been in Al-Anon 32 years, and so we know the program of AA. This is such a great, I don't want to say addition, but almost like a jump start or a quicker way. And I always knew that people could be delivered from alcohol in church, you know, but so many mm-hmm. of these people just couldn't seem to I don't know what it was, just couldn't seem to get it through church. And I had addictions.
Well, there's more
that
to
I couldn't,
it, as you know.
It was real hard in church. In Bible studies, in very close-knit, honest Bible studies, I was able to receive deliverance. You know what I mean? But you have to be in a group where you
yes.
can be so honest, and you can confess it and pray, have people pray for you specifically for
yes, Joy. Well, we only,
root causes. And so I guess that's what we're called, demons, or these root causes of things, these traumas and these demons.
I know a lot of people. Joy, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and what was going on in your life, how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverance was like, and changes you've seen, and so on. Go right
okay,
ahead.
Okay, well, I became a Christian at 10 years old in the Baptist, First Baptist in my city, Silsby, and I knew, it was so real. I knew that, Jesus loved me, he had died for me, and I wanted to be in his family, and I wanted to give my life to Jesus, and I did. And at 10 years old, I began to read the Bible. I read Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, and I just thought, you know what, this is so different from the world. Love your enemies, pray for them which despitefully use you. So as a child, I knew that, and I accepted Jesus, and now I always knew that was my salvation time, and I was baptized on Easter Sunday when I was in the fourth grade. So I had that stake in the ground. Then when I was in college, I was an English major, history major, had lots of atheistic professors and didn't seem to have the right kind of answers for things. And I think I went through a doubting stage, not my salvation, but just concerns. Then when I got out of college, I joined a very wonderful Bible study, and a lot of those things were answered. But happened to be under a Bible study teacher that did not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit in tongues. So we listened to him about 2 years and learned a lot of deep Bible history and the Bible, a lot of things. But we all began to say, well, wait a minute, it's right in the Bible that this is the gifts, one of the gifts that we haven't, it never said it stopped. So we began to, one by one, ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I guess I was about in my late 20s when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the evidence of tongues. And that was so amazing. it was the just this supernatural feeling. I thought I had read some books, The Exorcist, in those days. That was in the 70s, 1970s, and The Exorcist was the movie that came out. But anyway, I kind of backwards begin to think, well, if a demon could possess a person, well, why can't the Holy Spirit possess a person? You know, it became so real to me that Jesus in me, the Holy Spirit, could have me do good things instead of bad things. And I was able to overcome a big addiction that I had had. It was an eating disorder. Through that supernatural power then. So I so believe in deliverance. But here I go. Here I am, 74. I always make myself older. And when I came to deliverance up there with you, Everett, in May, there were things that either had come in or had never gotten out, that it was amazing how many things I could still mark on that that problem list. Some of the things, like I said, the eating disorder, nail biting, a lot of that stuff had been taken care of, but there were still so many things that I had to deal with, or I was dealing with, and I really did receive deliverance then in May of this year of things, and begin to see what you told us about the three things. There's the spirit, the soul, and the body. And if Holy Spirit is in us, the demons cannot come into our spirit, but they can come into our minds, our emotions, and our physical body. And that just made so much sense to me. And so I began to read your book, and my sister Jane kept going back up to the training, and we all kept learning, and I was listening to some of your programs. I was even on your program right after we got home, because I was so wanting to warn people that if they didn't do the yellow sheet, they didn't do things that kept them free, some of the demons would try to come back in. One of mine has always been oppression or depression, you know. So I went back, when was that, about 2 weeks ago, Everett, or a week or two? And this time I worked with Everett, and Everett was able to call up the head demon. And my gosh, I couldn't believe I had that one. And he was able to, because the head demon in me identified himself and told the lies that he had been telling me, and then everyone was able to say, well, okay, now name Joy's gifts that you've tried to squelch. And that was so wonderful to see all of these things that I had that had been held down by this destroyer demon.
Oh, destroyer, yeah.
Destroyer was the one that manifest in me. Who would ever thought that? Because really, under destroyer, I didn't seem to have some of those things. My husband and I had been married for 51 years. I mean, we hadn't had divorce. But at this moment, there was a lot of separation in our family. Just there's one son. We have four children. And his family just, there's been a big separation. And I believe now, and I had believed it ever since this happened 2 years ago, that God would restore what the locusts had eaten. And we'll restore this. And I really, it was so impressed on me once that destroyer demon was out of me, all that faith and love. And I have totally forgiven this son and his wife. I really had. And I was just waiting for God to bring us back together. And now I'm waiting for God to show me what I can do even more. So that's really an exciting thing that's happened to me since being relieved of this destroyer demon. So thank you, Everett.
Wait,
oh, my gosh. I can't thank you enough, and I can't tell you how free I feel.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Joy, when that destroyer was talking out of your mouth, did you hear it?
Yes, I heard everything.
Okay. Yeah, about 90% of the people, when a hit demon is talking out of someone, they can hear what it's saying. 10% roughly cannot hear anything. And I've had to tell people what went on in those cases. But I really like it when you can hear what's happening. It's kind of like you're in the back seat somewhere watching all this and hearing it. It's funny.
It's really wonderful.
Phenomenon.
And it's very, very affirming when you actually hear. I mean, my voice was saying it, but I would never have said those things. I never even heard of the destroyer demon. I never even marked any of that on my sheet. That's what's so funny about this. But wonder why that was. Although now when I look back over it with more understanding, I see there are things in there like failure, sabotage, and self-mutilation. Mm-hmm. I don't do that, but when I was a little girl, I bit my fingernails. I don't know if that's self-mutilation. And then there's never been... But I think the self-destruction, I think my feelings that I've had of depression, and in high school, feelings of suicide, you could not believe this, because outwardly I seemed like such a happy person, and I was, but it would just be like it would take over my mind, and things were never going to be okay. You know, it was like it was a sabotage, but I guess I was being sabotaged. So I'm just trying to understand a lot of this still, Everett, but I understand so much more now.
Well, Joy, look at it this way. What went on in your ministry is extremely common with the people that come. The destroyer is probably the most common head demon. After all, they fit in, as Jesus said, they come to steal and to destroy.
Steal,
kill,
and destroy. Right.
And so
good,
that
Lord.
Figures at the high-ranking spirit a lot of times in a person. It probably is the most common.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that thing is out of me.
Amen. Well, there's
Amen.
No way you wouldn't be better. You've got to be better, Joy.
You can't even explain the relief, the joy, the peace, the confidence, the wisdom, the discernment. You cannot even describe how you feel, and then to see some of your gifts begin to manifest that had been squelched.
Yes, you had a lot of good gifts we wrote down.
Yeah, wow. Goodness, I just like to go over that list over and over it. It's very interesting, very affirming.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish you were closer instead of down there on the Texas Gulf.
No.
You could be
I would come every Wednesday night if I were there, and I would become a real deliverance minister with you. But I'm going to... We're actually... My sister and I are... She's really doing it. You know, I mean, Jane's just gone into it. We have notebooks. She has a notebook for me, and I've been able to sit in on some of Jane's deliverance sessions to a certain place, you know, especially closing of the doors and the soul ties with some close friends of mine that don't mind. And I've been able to see how Jane does it. And this has helped me understand how I can help. I led one of my friends to let her prayer language come out, the tongues. Just, I was on my beach porch, and she was in Beaumont, and so we just did it long distance over the phone, and it was so precious, and I felt so confident to do this with her. It was the power of the Holy Spirit in me just leading me what to do. And so something has totally been unblocked. And there's fruit.
Praise God.
Everett, you know, that's, you really know by the fruit in a way. And not the feeling and the fruit. You know what I mean? It's so being able to do some of these supernatural works. This is a funny story.
Well,
I have to tell you what happened at the beach Friday. If I have a second, I don't know, maybe going over. My husband and I were walking down to the beach, and a young couple were walking along right in front of us, and I saw he was smoking. So I thought to myself, I think Jesus told me this, Holy Spirit, pray for that young man that the spirit of tobacco will go out of him. So I just began to do, by the power and authority of Jesus Christ, under my breath. My husband didn't even know I was doing this. I rebuke you, spirit of tobacco. Get out of that young man and go to the feet of Jesus. And when I did that, the young man and his little girlfriend, he's about 18 years old, turned around and just smiled at my husband and me, and then just started visiting, talking with us. And it was just about a 30, 40-minute conversation on the beach. We exchanged telephone numbers with them. He kept calling. My husband was so dear to him. And so he called Will, and Will asked him to come to our church the next day. Not only he and his girlfriend, he brought his stepfather, his step little sisters, his aunts, cousins, about 10 of them to our church. And then we took them to dinner afterwards, lunch. It was the sweetest, most amazing thing. So just from praying for that young man under my breath. And we can do that for people that just walk by. And
well, the Holy Spirit led you, Joy.
He did. He had more there than that tobacco. This young man really needed, he said by the end of the day after church, he said, when I marry, I want you and Mr. Will to come to my wedding. I want you all to act like my grandparents. I'm going, okay, we'll be there, Lucas. You know, I mean, it was,
it was really
supernatural.
Well, maybe you can fly up more often and go through the training. You all have private aircraft down there. And come up any time for the training.
Well,
we're
going to do that because we really, I think when you go to the training, like you said, to the last man raft, that you see it done, you see the pattern. Because when I saw what my sister Jane did, she sat down across from the person, very, it was like diagnostic, like you're talking to a doctor. You know, and how you do it, Everett, so matter of fact. And you don't get into all the details. You just think about the emotions that you're going to give up to Jesus and that breaking of soul ties. It's just such a great protocol or pattern.
Well,
you have distilled this ministry into something that...
Joy, we're out of time.
Okay. Well, I love that you're organized on it, and you can share it with us.
In 30 seconds, why don't you wind up saying anything you'd like to the listeners?
Oh, I just hope every listener will come and will continue practicing this, and we will just bring more and more people, not only to Jesus, but if they already belong to Jesus, just be totally free and more effective and just sold out to Holy Spirit and using our supernatural power to free the captives and set the captives free. Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joy. That was a wonderful testimony.
Thank you.
Your blessing. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you. God bless you all.
Good night. Another good testimony.
Well, I'm all right just from listening to them. Hallelujah.
They both had,
what are Jesus they
both
is
had,
doing and the power of the Holy
that's
Spirit?
Right. They both had joy in their voice, and you could definitely hear it through the phone. And
yes.
I'm sure it went out to the airwaves the same way. You know, she talked about at the very beginning of the program about Al-Anon and AA. There is a lot of people that do get help with those, but I think the success rate would be higher if, one, it was Christ-centered, two, they dealt with the root problems of the spiritual aspect of it that came through the trauma, and three, they didn't speak the negatives, because I don't care how long they still say, I am, and I'm very familiar with those programs.
Oh, yeah.
My mom was involved with them when I was young, and another thing was is they said you were powerless against it. Yeah, and you were powerless against it. Well, all things are possible in Jesus Christ, and when you have Jesus Christ, you're not powerless against it. So, but any questions regarding deliverance? Again, that's deliveranceusa.com for the book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. We do thank you for taking time this evening to join us. It's always a pleasure to be on here. It's a blessing, and we thank you. We look forward to everybody seeing you next time. God bless, and have a good night.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.